Hello, everyone. This is Harp.
And I'm Andrew, and we're Culips.
Yes. Check out our website, culips.com. That's culips.com.
And we recommend that you sign up to become a member while you're visiting our website. Because when you're a member, you can really take your English studies to the next level. We give you transcripts and detailed explanations and quizzes for every episode. And this will really help you study English.
Yep, we definitely recommend that. And remember that we're also on Facebook and Twitter, so come on over and say hi and leave us a question if you have it or something you want to hear about. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. You know you want to.
It will help us out and it will help spread the good news about Culips.
Yes. So how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you, Harp?
I'm good. Anything new? Do anything fun lately?
Good question. Oh, there is one thing. Recently, I went to a festival here in Montreal called MuTech.
Oh, I've heard of it. It's the Electronic Music Festival?
Yeah, it's a big electronic music festival. And actually, I saw a dance performance. It wasn't really musical, but there was some musical elements, and it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. There was this artist, choreographer, super talented guy from Japan, and he did a dance performance in a big theater in front of 4 different projectors, and there was different projectors displayed on him and displayed on the walls, and it was just really cool. It was a visual treat. It was a feast for the eyes.
Wow. Was it just one guy dancing?
It was just one guy dancing. And you know what? Maybe on the Culips Facebook page, I will post a video so everybody can see what this looks like. Because it's hard to describe, but it's amazing to see.
Wow. It does sound amazing. That's cool.
Yeah. It was a great experience.
Nice. Well, let's get started with today's episode. Today, we're going to do a chatterbox episode, and that's where we chat. We talk about current events, we interview people, we talk about some exciting topics.
Yeah, and today we have sort of a new take on the chatterbox episode. We're going to have some water cooler conversations.
Yes. So when we say water cooler conversation, it basically means things that people are talking about on the street or at work with their friends and colleagues.
Mm-hmm. You know, in the office, it's common for people to sort of hang out around the water cooler. They want to get up and get a drink. And while they're there, they sort of stop and chat with their colleagues, talk about current events and new things.
Yep, exactly. So that's what we're going to do here for you at Culips.
Mm-hmm. And so the first story that we're going to talk about is about traveling and flying on Air Canada.
Yes, and how they are going to become very strict on their carry-on luggage.
Yeah, so from what I understand, now if you want to fly on Air Canada or any airline in Canada, you have to pay a $25 fee to check your bags on the plane.
Yeah, so this is an idea that's been in the U.S. for a long time, for a couple of years. And with Air Canada, it used to be 2 pieces of check luggage that you could check in for free. And now they've recently changed it. I think it's been at least 6 months that it's been changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so since it changed, most people got creative and started jam-packing their carry-on luggage and getting really big suitcases to try to bring on the plane with them. And now they're going to get all strict about it.
Yeah. So before, whenever you just carried your luggage onto the plane, there was always size restrictions, but nobody was strict about checking how big your bag was.
Or how heavy it was.
Mm-hmm. But these days, because people have to pay a fee to check their bag, they're, like you said, cramming more and more things into their carry-on baggage. And this is becoming a real problem for the airline.
Yep. It's slightly ridiculous, but I find their $25 check-in bag fee ridiculous. Ludicrous. It really makes me angry.
I agree with you. Now, before the $25 fee, were you the type of person who would check a bag and pack a lot of stuff? Or would you just sort of try and travel light and just carry a bag on?
It really depended where I was going. If I went to Toronto for just the weekend, I would definitely do just a carry-on. But I often go home to visit my parents in Edmonton, and I'm going to go for a week, so I can't live with just a carry-on, and I always have to take a larger size suitcase. It might not be full, but I like to check it in. And I just recently went to visit my parents, and I had to pay the extra $25 both ways. And to me, I think they should just put it in the price of the ticket if they're going to charge me, rather than make me pay it when I get to the airport. I just found it so annoying.
It is annoying. I agree. And a lot of people are complaining that it's actually slowing down the service, because now you need to have extra staff members check your bags before you get onto the plane. And even when they check your bag, there still means that more people are bringing their bags onto the plane. So the overhead bins are full and people can't find a place to store their bags. It's making the flight attendants angry, and what a mess.
It is a mess. And I'm sure it's going to be end up being the same thing that happens in the U.S. when you travel, where people bring on carry-on luggage, but they don't have enough space, like you said, in the overhead compartments. And they make you check it in when you get to the airport anyway, but they don't charge you then because it's only a carry-on size. So it just becomes ludicrous, I find.
Mm-hmm. You know what? This happened to me last time I flew to. Maybe I'm a part of the problem. I don't know. But I had a bag that I just carried on that was too big. And so they said, oh, you have to check it, sir. But then I didn't have to pay the fee because I already got the bag onto the plane.
That makes me so angry right now, because I had to pay both ways.
Yeah, so I scammed the system.
Next time I'm going to do the same thing.
Right. So this is a problem when we're flying, and it's going to be interesting to see how the airlines react to this customer backlash.
Yeah. And a lot of people are talking about this, and they're just getting annoyed with the airlines. People hate being nickeled and dimed, and so they try to avoid paying this fee.
Yeah, but we're kind of backed into a corner. There's not much that we can do. If you need to fly somewhere, you have to fly there, really. Driving is too slow. The alternative is not a good alternative.
Yeah, definitely. If I wanted to visit my parents and drive, that would take me 3 days there to drive there and 3 days to drive back. So I would have about 2 days to spend with them.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
No, not at all.
Okay, well, I think maybe we should move on to our second topic of conversation.
Okay, let's do it.
So our second story is about technology and the computer program Adblock. Do you know this one, Harp?
I think I've heard of it before. That's basically where you put a program on your computer and it blocks all the annoying ads.
Exactly. So when you install Adblock onto your internet browser, it blocks all of the really annoying ads, like pop-up ads. It blocks commercials on YouTube. It blocks a lot of different types of internet advertising.
But does it discriminate, or it blocks everything under the sun?
Yeah, it just goes all across the board and blocks everything.
Okay, so now the news is that this is going to be moving to mobile devices.
Yeah, and I think this is very exciting news. Very soon, Adblock will come out with a version for Android and for iOS. So you can install it on your smartphone.
I'm hearing a lot of talk about this and how it's really going to affect companies' bottom lines, because they depend on getting advertising out there. And if everyone's blocking it, people aren't seeing their ads, they're not clicking on it, they're not making money.
So it's a vicious circle, really, because what the internet publishers do is make really annoying ads to grab your attention, right? They have pop-up ads, or maybe a loud video will start playing while you're visiting a website. And so people download the ad blocker to block these ads because they don't want to see them. But then the internet publishers go out of business. So I don't know. It's a tough one for them.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely tough. Do you actually use ad blockers?
Of course. What about you?
Yeah, me too. No, actually, I don't have it. And I kind of don't mind ads sometimes because I feel like they are really catered to you. Like, I'll search something on Google and then I'll start seeing some ads and I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Oh, yeah, that's what I was searching about. So I'm one of those people that actually gets taken in by the ads.
Oh, okay. So you're the demographic that the internet publishers need to target.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just find ads on the internet very annoying. And so the ad blocker is great for me. There are some situations where I'll actually turn it off. Like in Canada, we have the CBC, the big public broadcaster. And I know that this is a struggling company and I want to support the CBC. So when I view content on their website, I actually turn my ad blocker off and I don't mind seeing an ad for 15 seconds or something. But every other situation, ad block's on.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to hear you're supporting the CBC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see how the internet evolves once Adblock is available to everybody on a mobile device.
I think right now they have over 200 million users of their product, so it's very popular.
Well, that's interesting. And a lot of people use their mobile devices to browse the internet. So if people put it on there, ooh, it's going to be big news.
Totally. So let's wait and see what happens with this one.
Let's move on to the last topic for our water cooler episode. All right, so our first topic was a very Canadian topic with Air Canada. Then we did a little bit more of an international topic with ad blockers, but now we're going to focus on a local topic.
Mm-hmm. Bringing it back home.
Yes, back to Montreal. And this is all about how St. Catherine Street is going to be renovated.
Mm-hmm. So if you've never visited Montreal, you might not know about St. Catherine Street.
It's basically a long strip that has a lot of big stores and small independent shops on it. And it's a big pedestrian shopping area.
Mm-hmm. Whenever I go down St. Catherine Street, it's one of the main drags downtown. I always kind of feel like I'm in a shopping mall.
Yep, exactly. Me too.
Like a big outdoor shopping mall. So it's a very busy street and a big commercial hub.
Yep. So now it's been recently announced that they're going to completely renovate it. And there's some really interesting things that they want to do.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to widen the sidewalks, make the street a little bit narrower, and they're going to heat the sidewalks.
Yes, heated sidewalks. I was really fascinated when they talked about this.
Yeah, so I guess a heated sidewalk would be very nice in the winter because the snow would just melt right off it automatically.
I personally think if they can do it in an ecological way and not waste a lot of energy with these heated sidewalks, that it's going to be great because that's one of the things for people walking on St. Catharines. It's not even the cold. It's that the street and the sidewalks are so icy and full of snow that it's not easy to walk. So people don't want to go there shopping in the winter.
Mm-hmm. But let's be honest. Even if there is heated sidewalks, would you still go shopping outdoors in the winter?
I think I would, yeah.
Yeah?
Do you get that little bit of cold, then you go into a store and you warm up. Then you go outside, then you warm up. It's not like always cold.
Okay, yeah, I see your point. I mean, it encourages me to go if there is a heated sidewalk. It's a selling point of the street, I guess.
Yeah, I was actually talking about this with some colleagues at work, and we all agreed that we would prefer this with the heated sidewalks that were all clear of snow and ice and being able to go in and out of stores rather than going to a mall and being inside the whole time, because then you're so hot with your big winter jacket and you have to carry your winter jacket. It's just not very comfortable.
Yeah, that's a good point you raised there. Mm-hmm. Another feature that they are going to implement into St. Catherine Street is free Wi-Fi.
Oh, that'll be great. And a big tourist draw, because tourists usually don't have a data plan when they come to Canada. So they need the Wi-Fi if they want to stay connected and be able to search restaurants to go to or where other shops are.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm excited about this because it's surprisingly difficult to find free Wi-Fi downtown. So Yay, free Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that's going to be a very good feature.
Another kind of Echo feature is that they're going to install charging hubs for electric cars.
Ooh, that's interesting. I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, so I don't know if you drive an electric car. I don't, but I guess they're anticipating that in the future more people will, and you need to charge them up. So go to St. Catherine Street to get that done.
Yeah, and you could charge your car and go shopping at the same time.
Yeah, it's a nice idea.
Yeah, you could kill two birds with one stone.
But there is a little bit of opposition to this renovation plan, because a lot of the small businesses that operate on St. Catherine Street think that the construction time is going to hurt their business and maybe even put them out of business.
Well, that's a very legitimate concern, because it seems like whenever they do construction on the big streets here in Montreal, like how they did on Saint Laurent a couple of years back, a lot of stores end up going out of business because people can't park because there's too much construction. People can't walk easily, and people don't want to go there when it's under construction. So I can understand their concerns for sure.
Mm-hmm. Especially in Montreal, when sometimes the construction tends to go over the projected time too.
You're so nice by saying sometimes. I feel it's every time.
Yeah, so I understand their concerns, and I think that's a legitimate issue. But in response to this criticism, the mayor said, you know, sometimes you have to suffer a little bit. The short-term sacrifice will mean rewards in the long term.
Yeah, and I think that you can see it when you go on Saint Laurent Street, because this is, like I said, a street that had been renovated a couple of years back, and it just looks beautiful now compared to before.
Yeah, for sure.
So hopefully it happens quickly and miraculously on time, or before they're supposed to deliver the project.
Yeah, maybe they'll put this one into a high priority setting.
Yes, hopefully.
All right, well, I hope that you enjoyed listening to our water cooler chat. We talked about a story specific to Canada, the Air Canada baggage fiasco, an international story with the ad lock being released for mobile devices, and a local story about St. Catherine Street right here in downtown Montreal.
Yeah, let us know what you think of this episode. It's a bit of a new style, but we enjoyed doing it.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to hear more shows like this, just let us know and we can keep doing them.
Yes, and remember to check out our website, culips.com, that's culips.com, because there we have hundreds of old episodes, but they're all great episodes.
Mm-hmm. Worth a listen if you haven't heard them before.
Yes. So that's it for us today. Bye, everyone.
Bye.